Welcome to Nancy Goodame, Chapter 10. And for the next 50 minutes, you will visit planet Jupiter. How far is it to Sozman City? Asked the sheriff. He had just stepped from the rocket onto a large grass clearing about a square kilometer in size. European Space Agency Mission Specialist Nancy McGinley and European Space Agency Mission Specialist Bart McMorrow and Martian astronaut slash waitress Martina Ruddlesplitch had also just stepped off the rocket. Well, stepped off is just a figure of speech. They had to climb out through a small rounded door onto a narrow ladder and then step onto the grass. They were surrounded by rolling hills covered with forestry. The hills stretched as far as the horizon in all directions. Next to the rocket, which was resting on its fins, was a small wooden shack. The small wooden shack normally housed passport control. Unfortunately, the arrival of a ferocious cantabular glimp preceded the arrival of Bart, Nancy, Martina, the sheriff, and the rocket, which meant the Jupiterian, whose job it was to be the passport controller, had legged it for the woods in order to avoid being eviscerated by the glimp, and left the shack empty. Nancy, Bart, and Martina watched as some of the trees near the edge of the clearing shook violently. Martina nodded to Bart. It's a good job you read ahead to this chapter before the last chapter. I wouldn't fancy running through a strange forest with a cantabular glimp clattering after me. Story or no story? I'm not sure if it's running after anyone right now. That Jupiterian lad can run very quickly, or at least he could the last time he was in this chapter. If I was to guess, I'd say the glimp gave up not long after entering the forest. For all its strength, that thing still has to make a call on the energy used to kill and eat its tea versus the energy gained from eating it. I reckon the odds tipped over in the Jupiterian's favour and he's probably safe from evisceration. Now the four of us, that's a whole different equation. Four bodies would be a nice snack for a glimp, said Bart. Is it a glimp that's shaking those trees? Asked the sheriff. Of course it's a glimp. Do you not remember? We delayed the landing so you wouldn't be eviscerated by the creature. You'd think you'd have learnt your lesson, answered Martina. What lesson? Asked the sheriff. The lesson of situational awareness. The lesson of not stepping onto another planet and worrying about how far you might have to walk. The lesson of paying attention. I have much more important things to be thinking about than what's going on around me, replied the sheriff. You lot can worry about the details. Now, how far is Sozman City?
Half a wit, replied Martina.
And I hate that name. It's stupid. Hubble O'Granicker was a much nicer name. I'm going to stick with calling it that.
Half a wit of what? Asked Bart.
He had turned from watching the trees swaying in the distance and was now dividing his attention between Martina and the sheriff. Nancy had also turned away from watching the trees, but only to make sure her crossbow was ready for use.
What do you mean, half a width of what? Of what do you think? Half a width of Jupiter.
But that's 68,000 kilometres, Martina, said Nancy. Bart didn't comment. On the occasion of a normal learning, he had a 68,000 kilometre walk after a successful joint Martian-slash-human-Jupiterian landing, Bart would have marked his comprehension of the distance with some sort of complaint. But, like I said, he didn't. This was because his attention was fully focused on the tree canopy disturbance created by a cantabular glimp.
I think that glimp's heading this way. The tree shaking is getting closer. I bet it heard the rocket landing.
No offence, but you weren't too quiet about that, Martina, said Bart. Nancy had her crossbow loaded and aimed at the trees before she even knew it.
Nobody move, she snapped.
Now hold there a minute, said the sheriff. It's up to me to tell you what you can and can't do, he added.
Some trees close to the edge of the clearing shook violently. They then dramatically and very loudly parted in a cloud of splintered branches and leaves. An enormous claw-headed creature jumped through the gap, paused momentarily as if to get its bearings, then charged in the direction of Nancy, Bart, Martina and the sheriff. Nancy raised her crossbow, lifted the riser and steadied her aim on a point where the claw-shaped head met the torso of the creature.
Now, announced the sheriff, nobody move or make any noise, because it is a well-known fact that cantabular glimps have no eyesight, but great hearing. So the slightest noise would give away our position.
He looked in turn at Martina, Nancy and Bart. None of them responded. They were all frozen and silent,
watching as the glimpse rapidly covered the several hundred metres from the edge of the clearing to where they were standing.
"Did she not hear me?" asked the sheriff.
His question was met with silence from Martina and Nancy and Bart, and a loud clacking noise from the glimpse. It had clearly heard him. Nancy could sense the pulse behind the anterior runticle of the glimpse, which suddenly and inexplicably seemed like an important thing to have sensed. The glimpse was 47 metres, 15 centimetres and 3 millimetres away. Nancy knew that and more. Like the fact that the glimpse had focused its attention on the sheriff and planned to make a swift and messy meal of him. The sheriff was armed, but useless with a crossbow. If he hadn't taken his aim on the glimpse by now, then it was too late. And he hadn't. Mostly because he was busy taking charge.
"No," he said. "I can tell you're all afraid, but if you stay silent, there's a chance the glimpse won't be able to strike us."
Nancy knew that the large anterior runticle of the Jupiterian glimpse would be harder to pierce than the anterior runticle of the glimpse she had killed on Mars. She knew it would need to be no more than 32 metres away for the bolt to be fatal. She watched as the glimpse clacked open its hedular appendage and began its death lunge for the sheriff. It was now 32 metres away.
Thrack! Clack! Splack! Thump!
"What did that creature just say?" asked Bart.
"Great shot, Nancy," said the sheriff.
"I'd be proud of that one myself."
"Well done, and thank you," said Martina.
"One Martian glimpse, four Jupiterians, and a Jupiterian glimpse, all dead because of your skill," noted the sheriff.
Nancy walked the 32 metres from where she had been standing to the glimpse and pulled the crossbow bolt from its anterior runticle. She wiped the bolt on the grass and placed it back in the crossbow holster.
"What's this you said your name was, Nancy? McGinnity?"
"McGinley."
"Well now, from now on you are called Nancy Goodaim, because of your good aim. And I'm going to make people call you that, because I'm the sheriff."
"It sounded like the glimpse said,
oomph," said Bart.
"That's a strange sound for a big creature like that to make when dying."
"Why, what sound should it have made?" asked Martina.
"I don't know, I'm not from round here," said Bart.
"But, you know, I wasn't expecting that."
Before Martina could press Bart for a description of his extraterrestrial death grunt expectation, Nancy shushed the group and loaded her crossbow and aimed it at the tree line.
"There's something watching us," she said.
"Ah, not another glimpse. I'm getting sick of the things," noted Bart.
"No, it's not a glimpse. It's a Jupiterian and it's waving at us." Nancy strained her eyes. Something told her this creature that she was looking at was not a threat. It did not look like a threat either, in that it was a scrawny humanoid in a mucky green uniform with John Lennon-style glasses and dirty blonde spiked hair. Still, she kept her crossbow ready, just to be sure.
"Better sure than sorry is right, Nancy," noted Bart.
How did you know what I was thinking?" asked Nancy.
"It was just a guess." "What do you want?" yelled the sheriff at the Jupiterian who had appeared at the edge of the clearing.
"Well," shouted the Jupiterian back, "I was going to warn you about the glimpse, but it looks like you have that sorted. That woman you have with you is a good aim."
"She does," replied yelled the sheriff. "But now the glimpse is dead, what do you want?"
"I need to process your immigration paperwork. Only the woman is pointing a crossbow at me. And I don't want to approach for fear of a bust anterior vestibule. Or death."
"Nancy, put the weapon down," ordered the sheriff, in a just below yell tone. And then said, "And let the Jupiterian approach so he can do his job."
He then cleared his throat for a yell
and shouted, "Good stuff, we won't harm you. You can approach us and get on with your work."
He waved the man forward and Nancy lowered her crossbow.
"Good man, that fella," noted the sheriff. "Dedicated and good at his job. Reminds me of me."
It took 98 seconds for the man to approach Nancy, Bart, Martina, the sheriff, the Martian rocket, which was resting vertically on its fins, and the shed/Jupiterian passport control.
"Right," said the Jupiterian when he got to them. "Follow me into the shed and we'll try to do this quickly."
"But," said Nancy, "would it not be a bad idea to register our arrival? Just, you know, to try and keep the element of surprise and hide the news of our arrival from, Sozman."
"Sozman Borgstapel?" asked the Jupiterian.
"Yes," replied Nancy. "He's a bollocks. I wouldn't tell him anything. Him or his mates. They're all flutes.
No, don't worry, Sozman and the Sozniaks won't hear a whisper of your arrival."
"Then what's the point in registering us?"
asked Bart. Martina nodded in agreement at the question. It does seem pointless. The sheriff gave a loud tut, cleared his throat for a second time since the demise of the glimp, and said, Because it is important and needs to be done. If people like me, or this lad, didn't do important things, then there would be no point in anything. The Jupiterian reddened and added, Well, yeah, and it's something I thought I'd never hear coming from a Martian. Well, I never thought I'd ever be speaking to a Martian, so I suppose everything ye say is something I never thought I'd hear coming from a Martian. But, well, processing immigration details is my life. It's like, I suppose you could say, a thread that has woven my existence together. And if I didn't do it, there would be no point in me. So, with respect, could you all just follow me into the shed? Certainly, said the sheriff. Me and Nancy are from Earth, advised Bart, earnestly. But nobody seemed to care. The Jupiterian turned, walked the handful of feet required to bring him to the wooden door of the windowless shed, opened it, and stepped inside. The sheriff, Bart, Nancy, and Martino followed him. The inside of the shed was surprisingly bright, thanks to multiple holes and wonky boards in the walls and ceiling. The only thing the shed contained, apart from Bart, Nancy, Martina, the sheriff, and the Jupiterian, were a rug, a wooden chair, a table in the middle, and a ledger on the table, which was open on the first page, which was blank. The Jupiterian sat in the chair, which was at the opposite wall of the shed to the single entrance, and faced the table and door. The Jupiterian cleared his throat importantly and announced, Now, nobody has ever visited here before, so I'm going to just list ye according to your name and weight, if that's okay. Starting with you, Sheriff, as you are obviously the most important individual in the group. Could you all move away from the door and stand behind? The end part of behind went unsaid, as it was interrupted by a ball of light followed by smoke and a holographic image of another Jupiterian in a dirty green uniform. The holographic image was about one third the size of the humanoids in the room, which made it roughly about 2 foot tall, and it faced the form-filling Jupiterian. It was suspended in mid-air and was slightly hazy. Have you seen any visitors? It asked. No, none. Not another creature. Although, I think there's a glimpse about, answered the Jupiterian. He held his finger to his lips and motioned for Nancy, Bart, Martina and the sheriff to stay where they were. Why do you ask? Asked a regular-sized non-holographic Jupiterian. Ah, just because the Wizard Oblerong has the shits. He reckons it's because something disturbed his aura, and that something was the exact size and shape of a Martian rocket landing on Jupiter. Typical, noted the non-holographic Jupiterian. Tell me about it, replied the hologram. The thing is, once Sosman got a whiff of Oblerong's scuttery shite and found out about the rocket-shaped imagined catalyst, he sent us all out looking for the rocket. I got the job of visiting your spaceport, but to be honest, I don't want to go there. You know, because it's a kip, and also a long, long walk. And where I am is a lot closer to me, and easier to get to. So will you just let me know if you spot anything? Sure, promised the non-holographic Jupiterian. The hologram didn't respond, but just disappeared. That was a bit rude, noted Bart. Ah, all them Sosniaks are like that, said the Jupiterian. Don't worry, I wouldn't give any of them the steam of me piss, never mind news of a Martian invasion. Oh, we're not invading you, said Martina. We're just looking for some folk that were kidnapped from Mars. Me and Nancy are actually from Earth, advised Bart for the second time. Nobody responded. That sounds like it could be fun. Mind if I join ye? Asked the Jupiterian. A group of five is always better than a group of four, noted the sheriff. So please, join us. Do you still want to register our visit? Asked Nancy. Ah, to hell with it, said the Jupiterian. I thought filling out the form would be good, but when it came to it, the whole thing seems a bit boring. Especially when there is an interplanetary rescue team alternative to be joined. But, you know, what about the whole thread of existence thing you said earlier? Asked Nancy. I was just making conversation, replied the Jupiterian. By the way, my name is Chuz Rontlepeck. Pleased to meet you, Chuz. My name is Nancy, said Nancy. I'm the sheriff. I'm Martina Ruddlespitch. I'm Bart, said Bart. Bart sounds like a dog's name, noted the Jupiterian. Have you dogs on Jupiter? Asked Nancy. Only in the winter. Never mind dogs. We better get moving if we're going to walk half the width of Jupiter, said the sheriff. He stepped out of the shed and was followed by Bart, Nancy, Martina, and finally Chuz the Jupiterian. That's a long walk, noted Bart. Ye Martians have a very strange measurement system too, he added. There's nothing strange about our system, said the sheriff. Your friend Nancy said it was 68,000 of your Earther measurement units. That would make anyone disheartened and doom the walk to failure right from the start.
half a wit is far better for the mind and soul, and a much easier thing to contemplate.
The sheriff then took a long, hard look in all directions and turned back to Bart.
But you're right about it being a long walk. It will take a bit of time, though, as the great Martian detective Bongolon Chupstow once said, when you consider that even the longest journey begins with a single step, you will realise that every journey is the same.
Same as what?
Itself.
The sheriff then began walking to a seemingly random point on the edge of the clearing. And all of the others followed.
And that's it for chapter 10, chapter 11 next week, 56 in total. See you then.